listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey guys, glad to see you back again. We had a really great show last week talking to the parents of Elysiana Carter, and found out some interesting facts concerning their daughter, who is now deceased at the hands of careless acts of others. There has been an arrest made, as you know, and we're looking forward to seeking justice for this 13-year-old that was, I think brutally is a word that's too mild for a situation like that. More like justly murdered. And you got to hear from the mom and especially her dad in regards to her short time in the DHS CUA network, the third party umbrella system that is set out to support these kids and protect them through tragedies such as these. When you think of these child protection agencies, you look at them as a safe haven for your child. And sometimes a parent does not have it all together, and they basically depend on the system to protect their child from vicious people that are out here in the world today, which is very, very sad. But you got to hear it from the horse's mouth, and not me putting words in anybody else's mouth, on how the system and this umbrella of constituents participate together. And I get it. You know, you get a paycheck. This is your job. You have to survive. So you put yourself in that umbrella of a system to collect a paycheck and, you know, basically paper pushers. And don't get me wrong, guys. I have friends in that system. Trust me. And they've told me all kind of wicked situations and horror stories about, you know, things that go on with children, which is very disturbing. And, you know, my question is, how do you make a difference in a child's life when you truly don't care? And I'll take that back a little bit, because there are some people that work for that umbrella that truly care. And if I was in that particular arena, I could say that I would truly care. So sometimes you take the shoe off of your foot, put it on somebody else's foot, and see how well they can walk in it, which I have yet to see that, by the way. But, you know, it's a sad situation when you have someone, you know, as the father of Elysiana Carter stated, they showed no kind of care, work ethics of helping. The daughter was, you know, a runaway from the foster home because she didn't want to be there. Who knows what could have been happening to her in the foster home? Did anybody ever take the time out to investigate, you know, what was going on behind the scenes? Because a lot of these foster homes are not what they're cut out to be either. You know, I could tell you a pastime story. I met a gentleman that actually was in the system as a kid, and he's a grown man now. And basically he told me he had to do everything to protect his butthole from being molested with this foster parent that he was basically thrown in the house with, you know. And, you know, he said his mom was drug addicted, and he felt as though, you know, he was basically just thrown in the system as another dollar bill, you know, because this is what this umbrella basically is about. They pay people to basically watch your child and make sure that your child is in good care, allegedly. So it's kind of, you know, an awkward situation. You know, I remember, I would say this was about maybe 15 years ago. I had the opportunity to become an advocate for an agency, CASA, out of Newark, New Jersey. And a friend of mine thought that that would be a great thing because of my care and nurturing habits I had as a mother, that maybe I could bring something different to the table, ground, that I could bring something to the table to help these abused children, or maybe not abused children, just maybe some children that were a part of the entitlement program. And we'll shed some light on entitlement, what I mean by that. You know, they thought I would be a great help, you know, coming in and doing volunteer work, by the way. So I would have been working for free, not on their payroll. So this is something that would have been done from my heart. So I thought that would be good, that you could actually give back. But when I found out what that agency was all about, I found out that CASA out of Newark, New Jersey was not the place that I wanted to be, because I got to take a peek at others' work habits in that particular arena. And, you know, they were in dire need of someone with my educational background and me as a person to come in and do what's right for the kids that was in the system. And, you know, talking to the director of that location 15 years ago, it was a very intriguing conversation, because my care for the children and the case, because they give you case files, you know, of these particular situations for you to investigate, for you to make recommendations for you to basically be a paper pusher, you know, for free. And there's nothing wrong with free, because like I said, it's all in good nature to make sure that you're adding in your part to society to do what's right by a child. But the one thing that bothered me about this agency is, well, it's called today, it's called plagiarism. And, you know, that's when you copy inserts from other people's notes and you make your own finding of something. That's what bothered me about that agency. They didn't write their own notes. They would take inserts of other people's notes and make a paragraph. So that was a little disturbing to me, because, you know, when you're in that profession, it comes with being educated, because a lot of them you meet, oh, I got this degree, I got that degree, but you're committing acts of plagiarism, which is very unfair to the parent that you're writing that report on. So that was something that I couldn't partake in, because I felt like that was a little dirty scheme and I didn't want to be a part of that. But that was my personal experience with them. And, you know, in Newark, New Jersey, they have a very heavy caseload of CASA cases that, you know, they look forward to advocating, because these kids are just, you know, if you know anything about Newark, New Jersey, you know that Newark, New Jersey is not the place you want to go and particularly hang out in the wrong neighborhoods, because there's a vast amount of crime being committed in many areas that you may not know where you are, you know, so it's good to know your surroundings and particular areas that you're going to be in. So that was my issue, going back to why I didn't want to be a part of that group of freebies, or be up under the director that gets paid a salary for plagiarism. So I kind of just bowed out and said, this is not for me, you know. And I felt bad, because you want to do good things for the community. You want to do good things for the children, because the children are they say they are the future, but I can't tell, because there's a lot of child on child crime going on right now. And very shocking, you know, I was in Philadelphia for a funeral this past weekend, and I tell you what, I met a woman that has an agency that actually advocates for children. And by the way, this woman will be on the show August 31st, and she was involved in the King Hill case. This is what struck my attention about her. She told me, you know, I was a part of the, she just came out of the blue and said this to me. I asked her no questions because I'm at a funeral. I am with people that are mourning over their deceased loved one. So I am basically there as a visitor, showing my respects. And this lady is sitting right next to me. And she's talking about the funeral. She's like, you know, this really breaks my heart because this was on July 30th, by the way. And she says to me, you know, or it might have been the 31st, one of those days. But she says to me, actually it was the 31st. She says, you know what? This is so heartbreaking that here I am at this funeral. And you'll hear this from the horse's mouth, by the way, because we don't put out anything that's not true. Everything here is factual and we support the facts because it's confirmed. But, you know, she's sitting next to me and she says, you know, it hurts my heart so bad that this 3-year-old who now is 4 today, that he just went missing. And I'm listening to the lady and I'm like, I'm thinking, because my mind is rolling while she's speaking. And I'm thinking, like, who could she be talking about? And why would she have this conversation with me? I got a little nervous because I don't know her. And of course, she doesn't know me. But she says, out of the blue, today is King Hill's birthday. I said, excuse me? She said, yeah, today is King Hill. Didn't you hear about the 2-year-old/3-year-old that went missing mysteriously? And I said, no, I heard some things about it because I didn't want to tell her directly what I know. I wanted to hear what she had to say. What is it that she wants to tell me? You know, this was very spooky to me, guys. Trust me when I tell you, because this has been something that has been ongoing because it's an active case. Okay. It's an active case. And as the police director said, anyone that has any information to share, please come forward, step up to the table, speak up. Okay. They didn't say we're issuing a gag order and shut your mouth. Okay. That didn't happen. But of course, this woman would not have had this conversation with me if there was a gag order. I'm positively sure, because she was quite intelligent. You know, she's running this agency. They advocate for these children out here today. But it was really weird how this conversation stumbled upon me, you know, and I never the initiator. So she goes on to say how this was so sad. And the boy was never found. And I'm just listening because I want to be a good listener, because I want to hear everything she has to say. So she's spilling the tea. And she says, for some reason, I think the family knows where he is. I didn't open my mouth. I sat there like, how do they say that? A church mouse? Because they're quiet. They're trying to sneak some cheese. I sat there quiet like a church mouse and my ears began to expand because I'm saying to myself, are you kidding me? You're having this conversation. My mind is saying this conversation to me, you know, so I had to let it sink for a minute because it was out of the blue that this woman is having this conversation. I'm like, okay, be quiet, Ms. Torres. Let her speak. Let her spill her guts. So she starts rambling on how she went to one particular block where the mother lives. And she says, I spoke to the neighbors. And I'm thinking in my mind, okay, typically if you're from an agency or a group, the first thing you do is you speak to the neighbors because you want to see if anybody knows anything. and hopefully they can point you in the right direction. But this woman was a bit odd. Like, she was a really nice lady. Don't get me wrong, guys. And I don't want to talk about anybody. She was a really nice lady. So I don't know why she targeted me even to sit by me. That was a little weird to me, but I was like, okay. Listen, I got the juice for you guys. Hang on. I'll be right back after this commercial break.
Ever wanted a skylight? Don't wait for the rain to visit you. Stop that leaky roof today. Untouchable Roofers get it done right the first time. 10% discounts for seniors and all law enforcement. Contact our team of dedicated experts for a free consultation at 267-467-1222 or find us on Instagram at Untouchable Roofers. Servicing Philadelphia and New Jersey surrounding areas.
Looking for a holistic approach to a healthy new lifestyle? Akir CMOS is the vitamin-rich solution you need with 92% of the nutrients our body needs. What does CMOS do? Promotes natural weight loss, helps build body muscle, builds a healthier immune system, helps allergies. Consuming CMOS when you're sick is a win, but consuming when you're healthy is a win-win. Visit AkirCMOS.com today and begin your journey to a healthier lifestyle.
Hey guys, glad you're back. Well, back to this lady with spilling her guts. So she's on the block and she's like, okay, I'm talking to the neighbors. And I'm like, okay, keep talking because my ears are open. You got my attention. You know, I'm like military stand sitting in my seat at this point. She says, I spoke to one neighbor. Well, let me backtrack because I want to make sure I quote her right. So when she comes on the show, I can recap this moment. She says, first she knocked on the mom's door, knock, knock. And she says, I saw the curtain move like someone came to the window to look out and they never opened the door, which, listen, I don't open my door for strangers either. So let's just say that. But then she says she, you know, went over, she saw a neighbor outside. She walked over to that, the first neighbor. We're going to go to the first neighbor. She walks over to the first neighbor and the first neighbor says to her, you know, she introduces herself and she says, you know, I'm asking people in the neighborhood, you know, about King Hill because he's missing and we're an advocacy group and this is what we do. So the neighbor's listening to her. And then this lady says, would you believe the neighbor said, I don't want anything to do with it. Got her stuff off of her step, walked in her house and slammed the door in the lady's face. Now, if that's not some tea for you. Now, you're looking for a 2/3-year-old, right? You're asking the neighbor about this. Like, who wouldn't be compassionate to a baby? Like, got to be mentally ill, okay? First thing, that's a fact. Mentally ill, a baby, not, I'm not even gonna say a kid. I'm gonna say a baby. A baby is missing, okay? You don't want anything to do with it. And you walk in your house and you slam your door. And your neighbors with the person that's missing a child, that was very odd to me when she told me that. So then she said, because she wasn't looking for any confrontation. Mind you, she's traveling with a gentleman who's her assistant. And she says to a second neighbor, she says, hello there, I'm X, Y, and Z. And I'm here because I'm looking for some, you know, leads into helping find this 2-3-year-old child that's went missing. She said the neighbor told her, this is not what you think it is. And I have nothing to give you as far as any information concerning King Hill. So she says, guess what? I walk away from her. There's another neighbor that is sitting outside. I guess this is the neighborhood where you just sit outside, you know, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. I'm not sure. I don't live in those type of neighborhoods where you can just sit outside. Not my cup of tea. But there's nothing wrong with sitting outside, by the way. It's just certain neighborhoods, you don't need to be sitting outside. But anyway, now there's a third woman that she explains, you know, why she's there. And she's looking for a little bit of assistance at this point because, you know, she knocked on the door. She said, do you know her? And she's like, yeah, I know her, you know, but I really don't know her. And she says, but what I do know of her, good luck to you, miss. And I'm thinking in my mind, this lady is really having this conversation with me. And I'm like, okay, keep spilling your guts because my ears are open. You know, because I, you know, get to the point of view here of what you're trying to tell me, miss. You know, because we're at a funeral and you're telling me about something that is not pertinent to the funeral. And I don't even know who you are, first of all. And, you know, she gets into telling me about the third neighbor now, who's basically telling her, you know, I don't really know her. She's a neighbor, but this is not what you think it is. Something to that effect. But we'll have her on the show to clear that little verbiage that she used up. So the third neighbor now says, miss, I'm going to do you a favor. She says, the grandmother of the missing child lives two blocks away around the corner. This is what the lady said to me. Mind you, it's been confirmed. This is what she said. On August 31st, she'll be on this show to justify this conversation because it's a little baffling to me too, guys. But she says the third person actually takes her, walks her to the grandmother's house. This is what she says. And she basically had a conversation with the grandmother. And, you know, hey, you know, we're just trying to get a picture of your grandson so we can actually put up flyers because this is what we do. That's what the lady said to her. This is what we do. And, you know, she said when she went there, she was expecting, you know, the grandmother to be destroyed. And she didn't know how, you know, through her walk going there, she's like, I'm expecting this woman to be distraught and crying and upset and trying to figure out, you know, how she can pitch in and so on and so forth. And I get it. And then to me, it seems like she knew the grandmother for some strange, like this is, guys, I kid you not, this was like the weirdest thing ever. It seems like she knew the grandmother. I don't know the grandmother. I only know from the news articles that I read about the grandmother, you know, her name and so on. I don't know anything about her to say, yeah, I met this lady and we sat down and had a cup of tea together and had some, you know, cocktails or something, or, you know, coffee or whatever. But I've never met this crew. Okay. So this is all like new to me. And mind you, the conversation was really weird. So this advocacy woman says to me, when she walked up to her door, she said, oh my gosh, I know this woman. And she didn't address her by her name, what's in the paper, because that's what I know her as. So I was a little, listen, I can be a little silly sometimes, please forgive me, but I was a little confused when she said, Beetle, is that you? And I'm saying to myself, that's not the name that was in the paper. You know, I'm looking at this lady like, who are you talking about? Because now I'm thinking this woman is delusional. She's crazy. And like, stay away from me at this point, lady, because that's not the name that was in the paper. So she goes on to say, you know, I know this woman from almost 30 years ago, and I'm surprised I ran back into her. And then she starts, listen, I won't put the tea out there or the business. I'll leave that for her to say. Because, you know, I don't want to say anything bad about anyone because I don't particularly know these people per se. So I would not be the one to say anything careless. But this woman from this advocacy group that knows Beetle or whoever she thinks the grandmother is, you know, usually when people know you by a nickname or, I'll give you an example. Booby. Booby is, it can mean many things. Like Booby could be a sweetheart. Booby can be a name. Chocolate drop, honey dip, strawberry, sunshine. You know, common names like that. Even though, listen, I'm Dominican. We don't have tag names like that. It's either your birth name or your full government name, you know, or names that were somewhat like, okay, if they can't pronounce your name, this is what they'll call you type of thing. So very interesting for this woman to say, like, hey, guess what? I know her. And I'm like, okay, well, who is Beetle? Because I'm lost at this point. I'm like, who is Beetle? Because that's like a name of, you know, like when you're growing up and people give you nicknames, so they have a tendency to know who you are. So that's what kind of put me back on the right track with this woman. I'm saying to myself, well, she must know who this lady is. I don't know her by that name. I know what I read in the newspaper, what I seen, you know, via the news outlets. Yeah, Steve Wilkos show. I know her as what they call her, you know, on these platforms. And that's her government name. I would hope so. So, you know, someone knows you by your nickname. As a matter of fact, we had a conversation about that not too long ago, guys, about nicknames and so on. But I found it very intriguing that this lady came up with, she knows her, you know, so it was no great surprise, but she had a lot to say. And I'd rather you guys hear it from her on August 31st of, you know, what she said out of her mouth, because I wouldn't dare say such things about my longtime friend or someone I haven't seen in like 30 years. But she had a lot of tea that she spilled. And she said some very crazy things as well. You know, because my theory is certain things that I found out about King Hill still being alive. Let's change that. King Hill potentially, or let's say allegedly, still being alive somewhere out there that was swept up by the biological dad. From things that I've looked into, let's say that. So I'll have my theory, and this woman has her own theory, which is somewhat like my theory, which to me was a little strange, because I'm trying to figure out, first of all, I'm like, I got top secret info. You don't got top secret info, lady, so who are you? But she had a lot of tea to spill about the case, and guys, would you believe this? This was so amazing. She knows Tiana Parks. And she knows the Parks family very well, which was also very spooky to me. So you mean to tell me you know the Parks family and you know Beetle, who you say was your friend 30 years ago, which was like, huh. Wow. Keep talking, lady, because my ears are stretching. They're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I felt like Pinocchio's nose was growing, but my ears were widening up, you know? So I'm like, okay, she knows both parties here. So I was more interested in hearing what she had to say, which I won't disclose that. I'll let her be the storyteller of that book that she's wrote on that topic. But it was very interesting that I got introduced to this lady via her introducing herself to me, making the comment about this baby whose birthday was the 31st, which she was wrong. I had to correct her. I said, no, his birthday was July 29th. So I corrected her on that. So, you know, she's like, oh, wait a minute. You're right. You're right. You're right. It was the 29th. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So it was very interesting to hear that from this stranger that I met. You know, it was like a weird date for the first time. You know, I felt like I was dating an advocate for a child facility or something. But it was very interesting. I look forward to having her on the show because, you know, she can share her thoughts about a lot of different things. And like I said, she knows people that I don't know. So that way you hear it from the horse's mouth. And by the way, guys, she has a lot of interaction with DHS and Kua kids that I will let her share that information with her interaction with these children. Very amazing. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Are you looking forward to sell your house in Philadelphia at a fair price, but are just not patient enough to go through the long, delirious process of enlisting your house in the market? Well, look no further, because GBuys Philly has got your back. You can sell house in Philadelphia without going through the trouble of navigating complex sales procedures. We specialize in helping property owners just like yourself in all sorts of burdensome situations. We pay a fair cash price and save you all the stress and inconveniences of damages or repairs. We will buy your home fast, easy, and convenient. No commission to realtors, no home inspections. Cash deal equals no mortgages. Property as is, no repairs. 100% fair offer guarantee. Sell your house fast for cash in Philadelphia. So what are you waiting for? Just contact us now at www.gbuysphilly.com. Experience, honesty, and integrity guaranteed. Remember, G Buys Philly. Hair breakage driving you crazy? Get rid of your dead hair and breakage. Swift Cuts to the rescue. We take hair care personal. Urban blends to protect your mane. Start your hair journey today. www.swiftcutshairandbeardcare.com.
Hey guys, glad you're back. Listen, great commercials, by the way. Very, very informative. You got hair breakage. You got to try these products. I tell you what, they're so intense. I feel like I got hair growing on my chest. But it really does work for the hair, especially their mango butter. Got to try it. But back to the stranger to me. She's a stranger to me at this funeral, which was very interesting. I look forward to having her on the show. So she can express some things in regards to her findings in regards to King Hill and what she thinks about Tiana Parks as a babysitter and her motive for actually wanting to babysit King Hill and reach out to King Hill's mother in regards to filling out some forms for a CCIS, I believe it's called, as she quoted it, to receive extra money because she wanted to be compensated more of what, you know, these umbrella government agencies give you for babysitting. Obviously, the stepdad, well, he wasn't a stepdad because he was never married to the mother. He was just like he was a babysitter guy. Let's call him the babysitter guy. He was the babysitter guy that basically took on somebody else's responsibility that he could have actually landed in a cup of hot water for it. You know, because when you take on a responsibility to have, you know, someone else's kid in your care and then they go missing abruptly and you have no idea, like it's like a ghost vanished in the middle of the night. So when you take on a responsibility, babysitter guy, you take on a lot of responsibility of, you know, caring for someone's child, and you can't be irresponsible with trusting people, you know, with your children, you know, because there's a lot that goes on besides, you know, hide and go seek and, you know, let's pretend and let's maybe call, you know, the real dad, because I'm getting played out now. Let the real dad step in and take his son, or, you know, something to that effect at the end of the day. But listen, everything unveils itself at the end of the day. And for some reason, people think that they can hide and they can hide behind, you know, closed doors and go along with the plan. You know, someone had a question about GoFundMe, I believe it's called. I've never taken any handouts, so I'm not sure you know, about that whole thing. But GoFundMe actually funds different situations. And someone sent me a question that they wanted me to answer in regards to GoFundMe money. And the question is, should GoFundMe money be used to pay your personal bills or pay for what you put your topic down to be supported? My answer to you, oh, her name is Miss Egg Harbor. Okay, Miss Egg Harbor. Miss Egg Harbor, my answer would be, usually an honest person who starts a GoFundMe would actually hang with them and not pay your personal bills and pay, you know, whatever you got to pay that's outside of what you designate those funds for. So Miss Egg Harbor, my advice, you know, on that particular topic would be just do the right thing. And, you know, because you're actually taking in people's hard-earned funds. It could be $20, $30. And I get it. Some people are behind in their rent. They're facing eviction. We've gone through a pandemic. And people do all kind of crazy things out here to get money for their own personal use. It could be for their hair. Who knows? But that's just a one-time fame and fortune type of thing. So I would say just do the right thing, because when you do the wrong thing, just like the people that played the little hoax on the homeless guy with the $20, and they were using that money to house him because he was so generous to them. And guess what? It didn't come out right away. It was months later, maybe even a year later, that it was found out to be fraud. And what people don't know is GoFundMe is, you know, I don't even know if I should say that on the air, and I won't say it. But when you commit fraud, you know, a fraudulent person who commits fraud, because a fraudulent person is accustomed to committing fraud. So they will do anything for small change. And this would be considered small change. I mean, how much could you could gain a lot from GoFundMe. But when you have the small thinking mind of, you know, a sixth grade education, this is where fraud comes in, because you can't possibly think collectively that you're doing something wrong in your mind, because you know, sixth grade education level. And I'm just saying this, because I have children, and in the sixth grade, I know what their thinking level was like. So to me, when a person says that I'm collecting money for to bury my cat, okay, or to maybe fund me because I really am homeless and I need somewhere to go, if you can be truthful about it, that's good. But if you want to be on that sixth grade education level and, you know, not do the right thing, then you gotta really, I can't even say take a look at yourself, because when people do that, they are disgusting. If you're going to take GoFundMe money and pay your personal household expenses and catch up on your bills, you're basically cheating people that really cared about your cause. And you can't win being a fraud. And that's basically what it boils down to. So Miss Egg Harbor, there's the answer to that question. And I wanted to give you guys an update on, I don't know if I should mention that name or not, but I will anyway. Wife 215, guys, this is like such a saga going on with these people. Wife 215, and you know, the husband Joe being Joe, and then Bigfoot, well, slash it, the neighbor, Barbie, Beauty Queen Barbie. Beauty Queen Barbie slash it. She actually, and I was only asked to call her this because they took a vote on her new name. So let's just clarify that. This beauty queen, Black Beauty Queen, I'll call her that because black is beautiful. She actually filed new charges against Joe, who's the husband of wife 215, Joe being Joe. And Joe being Joe doesn't have a clue. Why does he have new charges from this whole saga of being attacked by the Black beauty queen? You know, he's trying to piece everything together, you know, because he's like, now he has new charges. Mind you, he already had charges from an incident that happened because he was Joe being Joe. And now it's kind of bad, guys. It's kind of bad. It's looking bad for Joe being Joe. And wife 215 is looking at Joe like, okay, I think it's time you come clean, you know? And by the way, guys, I got a little birdie that, you know, came up on the window, and they wanted Joe to know that all those times that you were coming out of the shower, Joe, Black Beauty Queen Bigfoot was actually watching you dry yourself off through your window. So, Joe, if you're out there, just know that this information has came in on you. And basically, you were probably flashing her and you didn't even know you were. So this is how things can go wrong. And, you know, people see certain things while they're peeking through their window. People use binoculars, you know, in certain neighborhoods. They got their binoculars out. They're looking. They want to see what you got, you know, so be careful. Close the shade. Close the curtains. Mind you, Joe's favorite spot is by his window. And guess what? Black Beauty Queen knows this. So, of course, if you're peeking at me, I'm going to peek back at you. Not to say Joe might have been peeking, but who knows what Joe could have been doing? You know, he's Joe being Joe. But for the most part, Joe was innocent in this situation from what we know. And the Black Beauty Queen was the aggressor seeking a relationship with Joe, who is married to wife 215. And I got some feedback on that too, by the way, guys, of, you know, people wanting answers from Joe. They're like, why haven't you gotten Joe on the line? Why do you have his poor wife on the line, you know, upsetting her with what happened to her by being attacked by, you know, the neighbor being friendly type of thing? You know, I got some backlash, guys, from this. And it was very heartbreaking to me because I'm like, listen, I'm not the one that was being Joe. You know, I basically wanted wife 215 to come on so she could create awareness of Joe's being Joe's out here today, and maybe Jane's being Jane's, Jane's being the wives of the Joes, to make sense out of it. So you guys could say, listen, wait a minute, is my neighbor flirting with me? Or is my neighbor being too neighborly? Or did my neighbor touch me in the wrong way? That's inappropriate. Like little signs that people should look out for. I'm actually helping you guys out. Okay. Because listen, things happen in the neighborhood. Just ask Mr. Rogers, you know, and you'll see things go on. You know, Mr. Rogers, he takes off his sneakers. He throws them in the closet, his sweater, you know, he gets ready for his day. So can you imagine being too neighborly with your neighbor? You might be like Mr. Rogers, getting naked, getting ready for your show, but a different type of show. So keep that in mind when you have an overly friendly neighbor that wants to eat your food, you know, be friendly with your Jane or your Joe. It's things to look out for because those are signs of people being flirtatious, which that particular situation, guys, is dangerous. It's dangerous because this neighbor, Black Barbie, was thinking that Joe was her guy and the wife was nobody. You know, you heard it out of the horse's mouth. The wife was brutally attacked by Black Barbie and her constituents, okay? Beaten to a pulp, drugged down the street, She was drugged down the street so hard that when she went to the ER, they thought she was drugged by a car. That's how bad her bruises were. So these are things to keep in mind, how the neighborly situations can lead to criminal situations. So you want to be very careful with indulging in neighborly situations so you can just keep everything above board. You know, I'm proud to say that I have a great husband and no need for me to be neighborly and friendly with my neighbors. You know, I consider myself very lucky, very, very lucky. And I tell my husband that all the time. I'm very, very lucky. I'm very, very grateful to have you, because I wouldn't want to be in a predicament of certain arenas of individuals that, you know, try to befriend you, want to come to your house, get to know your spouse. And really, they have a plan in the back of their mind. And I'll tell you about this plan. This plan was Black Barbie's plan. And how do I know that? It's because Wife215 said, listen, I helped Black Barbie fill out paperwork because she seemed a little uneducated, like she didn't know how, which was very odd. I said, well, she didn't have a problem like filing a police report, did she? And she's like, no. I said, well, guess what? Black Barbie had a plan. And Black Barbie's plan was to probably take over your house, take over your family. You know, who knows what could have happened to this wife, you know, in the hands of a psychotic person who was believing that Joe was her Joe and not Jane, you know, not Jane's Joe, but, you know, Wife215, that's her husband. And you have this, you know, villain across the street from you taking claim on your man, your husband, someone you took vows with. So that's very, very, very crucial to, you know today and be aware of your surroundings. By the way, as you know, there's a lot of things going on in Philadelphia. Still the killings. They're still at it again. Hopefully justice will be served, you know, where it fits in to the individuals that are committing these heinous acts and who don't want to behave like good citizens of America, you know. So it's very important to have that good neighborly love when it comes to your neighbor pissing you off and you saying, oh, I'm going to get the gun. I'm going to gun them down. Think about it first. You know, it's a lot of crime going on. Find other methods of resolution, you know, and we'll keep you updated, by the way, with the King Hill case and this new woman that I met, my new friend, I'll call her. Advocate lady of Philadelphia. I will keep you updated with her as I'm keeping her updated with the show as to reminding her, don't forget about the 31st, because today we have 3.78 million listeners on today. Thank you guys for listening in. I really, really appreciate you all. It's been a great show today. We've got great updates coming next week. We have a guest coming on the show, discuss some of their experience with dealing with DHS and CUA. Because I'd like to let you hear the personal experiences of others, because I've never had an encounter with this type of agency to, you know, be involved in any of my children's lives. Because I kind of set the path for them to go in a different direction. And I'm a good mother. I'm a mother, as I was told. You know, my daughter, the youngest one, will be off to Spelman next year. So that's a good thing. Getting them out of the house so my husband and I can finally live and travel and go to Hawaii. But I got some tea for you guys for next week. Got a great guest coming up on the show. Like to thank you all for coming, joining on today, and I'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat place. Have a good night. Bye now.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.